Coming up on today's show.
The years I was in Vegas, I wanted to be bolder about my faith. And I considered myself at the time a Christian in the closet, so to speak, apologizing for what I believe.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from the Orlando area, my guest is a 6-time Emmy Award-winning recording artist, filmmaker, and television producer. Music-wise, he released a single in August, and the official music video for it already has over 1.1 million views on YouTube. He has sold 500,000 albums and garnered a Juno Award nomination for Male Vocalist of the Year. He is currently directing and producing the movie Undone, which is based on a true story, and his 2023 movie musical The True Miracle of Christmas is now available on Amazon Prime Video. He is also the founder of the anti-bullying ministry Why I Count, which he will talk about today. You've been hearing his newest song called Almighty. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Steph Kars.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks, Bruce.
Absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate you making time to talk with me today. Let's get things started by having you share with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing, called Almighty.
Well, that's a worship song, and I've been wanting to write worship songs. I've sang a lot of worship songs throughout my life, but this one was really special. I was wanting to show gratitude. You know, I feel like I've been very blessed, and I wanted to worship the Lord. There was no other intention but to worship the Lord in the song. So we recorded the song, and finally we did a music video, and wanted to have a story about a woman who has been diagnosed with cancer and going through the turmoils. You know, the first question, why me, right? She's a good woman, and the first question. So instead of staying in that place where it's, oh, poor me and why me, she starts reaching out and helping out others and praying for others. And it's a beautiful miracle that happens to her at the end of the music video. So without telling you the whole story, but that really was what inspired me and the visual of it. And so it was exciting to produce.
But talk a little bit more about the message of the song itself, because I don't think, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, I don't think that that's what the song is about. So I wonder what inspires you to do the video the way you did it, instead of what might be kind of traditional, predictable, already done. And maybe I'm answering my own question.
I mean, my wife and I have been surrounded with a lot of our friends that have been dealing with health issues. Mm. And so it started with us with gratitude that we have been given good health, and we wanted to certainly express that. And I think that's really what started, and I wanted to express the gratitude that what we have been given. And the story is, you know, there are times in my life, whether we're dealing with health issues or whatever issue we might have, or whatever obstacles or opposition we get. In this past 2 years, you know, I've been always saying, you know, when you get to do something for God and then all of a sudden you get opposition, and you kind of wonder, why is this happening? I'm doing all this for you, right? So, and I've learned as I'm growing little inch by inch every year that it's not about what's happening to us and how we react, and are we going to be a witness of Christ through whatever obstacles or opposition we're facing. And so having said that, you know, that certainly has been at the core of my thoughts when I did the music video and wanted to put that in visual. Because we are facing stuff that is not always nice, right? And we go through seasons that we wish that they would be over. But during that time, the message of not particularly of the song, but of the video, is to stay focused on the message of the song, that no matter what's happening, you're still almighty. You're still who you say you are. You're still sitting on the throne, and you're still in command, and we are still called to worship you. And so combining that with the message of the music video is really what I wanted to do with the song.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's a great description, and I think it also... Audience, you're probably wondering, there's so many songs that have been written that do give praise and thanks to God, that do worship him, and you think to yourself, so how do you write the song that so many others have written? And I challenge you to say, well, it's the same thing in pop and country and other genres where there's been so many relationship songs, there's been so many songs about cars and you name it, all the topics that they've all been written about. It's just up to the songwriter, in this case, Steph, to come up with his own personal way to worship and to give thanks and to hear exactly, Steph, what you're describing that the song Almighty is.
Yeah, so we started doing this. And actually, I hired the actress that is going to play as the main role in the movie that I'm producing, Undone. I asked her, would you mind playing in this music video? Because she's more into the movies, but she loved the song and she was honored to do it. So it was great.
Nice. Well, yours is an amazing story because it is said that you had breakout success in 1993, yet 4 years later, you had no money and were living in your car. Tell us what happened as well as what you learned from all that.
Oh, well, I started doing music in the secular world, and I grew up very religious, religious. Like, my first language was French, and so I grew up as a French Baptist, probably the only French Baptist church in the whole area. But I did not want to, at the time, I didn't want, my mom always say, you got to sing for the Lord, you got to do this. It was more like a religious spirited background to me, I thought. And then, so I had different ideas and growing up that, I'm not doing God's will because I have different dreams and different things I wanted to do. And it was just a misunderstanding to growing up with a religious, I call this today a religious spirit, because this is really what it is. And so I started doing music. I was extremely green, when I began financially, that is, I just wanted to sing. Actually, my background was in classical music, opera. My grandma was an opera singer. We also grew up on a farm, so I love country music. Dad was a fan of Elvis, so I loved Elvis Presley. Mom loved gospel. So I grew up with different genre of music.
Yeah.
So I started my career doing some country, and then, we did good. But like I said, I was extremely green. So let's just put it this way. They made a lot of millions of dollars with me selling these, doing 200 shows a year and selling a bunch of CDs. But at the end, at the end of the day, really, I didn't make money with this. And then I was so... not, I would say, jaded, but really hurt by all of this, because I walked in this world very naively and it really was taken advantage of as a young kid, because he didn't know. And so there's some great managers, but there's also some not so great manager. But having said that, I could see that was God's plan, because when I left in 97, so it's 4 years later, I left to go to Nashville wanting to start a new career. I had no money. I had nothing. I was living in my car, actually. But because of the sales and the recognition, that I had by my peers, I was able to work on different projects. And I was actually working at the time with Donna Summer.
Wow.
You remember Donna Summer?
Wow.
And we did a novel for the Special Olympics. She was part of it. And it was also the Kevin Bacon, the Bacon Brothers, and Alan Jackson, Leanne Ryan. So I was part of that album, the Special Olympics. So I would work with them. And Donna was, she passed away now. She would bring me to church. She turned into a really godly woman. But so I would go back to my car, not telling anybody. I would, feed myself at the dollar menu at Wendy's and shower at the YMCA. And they work with these people during the day and do some demos. But when I said it was part of God's plan, is because that time is when I understood the difference between a religion and a relationship. And I came to a point where I seeked God for understanding the situation also, but also to understand what was his plan now for me. Why am I going through this? So you see, it's the full circle with the last video, right? So the why again. And then I got to understand what a relationship with Christ was compared to a religion. And that changed things for me. And now I want, you know, of course, I continue to do my career doing the secular music, and got me to record a PBS special. I did some shows in Vegas. I was doing more of the by that time, talking about 99, 2000, I was doing more opera, pop opera. Actually, I was the guy who replaced Bocelli at the opening of Portofino right here in Universal Studio when they opened Portofino. And that brought me to Vegas. But there, you know, that came a time in 2012. I said, God, you know, I'm really tired of being a Christian in the closet. And I want to be more bold and do music for you. And of course, when I said that, doing a show in Vegas, two shows a day for a period of multiple months, is very taxing on the vocals, especially you're doing those big opera song, you know, whether it's the Phantom of the Opera or the Bocelli or Pavarotti song.
Sure.
And for me, coming from the East Coast, it was a major change going through such a dry climate. So it was very hard for me vocally to maintain. And so I was losing an octave. And I said, okay, God, now for sure, if you restore my voice, I will just sing for you.
Wow.
And then my voice was restored.
Wow.
And I started recording Amazing Grace. And we did also, that's when the My Shining Hour, actually, that's one of the songs that I wrote.
Wow.
And that's when it came.
Amazing.
So.
Amazing. Let me jump in here because I've got some follow-up questions. So when you talked about your grandmother, your parents, et cetera, and the music that you were doing back then, where exactly was this that you grew up? And then if it's not the same place, where were you living in 97 when you moved to Nashville?
I grew up in a little city in French Canada, Quebec.
Ah.
That's where I grew up.
Okay. And so is that where you moved to Nashville from in 97?
Yeah, I moved from there in 97, yes.
Wow. Wow. Oh, boy. So was it always just, it sounds like you've talked only about solo Steph Karst. This was never, I was in a band in my early 20s. We played this kind of music, that kind of music. It was always everything that you've discussed, solely you going out and performing as a singer and a songwriter.
Well, I had a band that I would, you know, hire the same musicians on tour, but it was not it was just a solo career.
Yeah. Okay. I have an update on my initial dates out on the road in 2025. I would love to meet listeners of this show to say thank you in person for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. If you are or will be in one of the following cities, please get in touch so we can make plans to meet. January 16th to the 19th, I will be in Orlando as one of the speakers at PodFest Multimedia Expo. Visit podfestexpo.com for more details on that. Then, January 21st to the 26th, I will be in Anaheim, California for the NAMM show. On the 26th, I'm going to head up to Los Angeles and will be there until the 29th. This is still in January. And I will also be speaking at the San Francisco Writers Conference, which will take place from February 6th to the 9th. Visit sfwriters.org for more information on that event, which is for writers of literature, books, not music. Contact me via email through podcast@nhte.net or DM me through the official @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account so we can meet up while I'm out on the road. Steph, this interview is being released exactly 1 week before Christmas, so it's fitting that we talk about your movie musical, The True Miracle of Christmas, which, as I mentioned in the intro, is available on Amazon Prime Video. Rather than me reading the film's description, share with the audience in your own words what it's about, as well as maybe some behind the scenes for us of making that film.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. My wife is really in a different world than I am. She's in the world of finances. So it's really like creativity meets the spreadsheet, right? So we're very different. But yet, she has the most beautiful voice, and she has such an endearing tone. And one day I was singing a song and she started harmonizing and she said, "Oh, honey, I'd love for you to do a song with me." She said, "Oh, well, I wouldn't do that." Well, I kind of tricked her. And I said, "Let me just record this for fun." And she is so talented, you know. So we started, it would be fun, honey, that we could just kind of make a little story about how we met. And that's how it started. And so during some of the breaks, you know, it was that I filmed some certain scenes in our home and, you know, we did some music videos throughout but I got her to record a song, "Mary, Did You Know," which she does. Like, if you'd hear the song, you'd think that she's like the most professional singer you've ever heard. You know, she sounds amazing. And so we started filming the movie. It was funny that year. Somebody was asking me what's my favorite moment for Christmas. Usually is to put up the tree. But that year, we put up the tree in July to start filming. And then we had to pull up the tree again in October. And then we had to put it back there in December. So it's no longer my favorite thing. But so we filmed, you know, throughout the last few months of the year. And it really was released just in 2024 in after Christmas, because by the time we finished, we did a premiere of the movies in 2023, but the movie was available only in 2024. So the premise of this is really our going through some memory lane, right, about what the true meaning of Christmas is. And we get to tell the kids in the movie, the ones we're playing, our children, what Christmas is all about. You know, it's not about Santa. It's not about getting gifts. It's really about the birth of Christ and the meaning of who Christ is. And the premise of the film really revolves around that. And that we're just sharing our stories throughout the film through musical numbers as well. And I'll tell you something funny, though, that happened.
Please.
The song, "O Holy Night," created a nativity scene. And so we had some farm animals, like sheep, and we had a calf. And that calf ran away during the shoot.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
That little girl, yeah, so I could tell you, we had the whole crew running for that that calf. And so I really know what a rodeo is. I tell you, they run fast. And we were so afraid they would get hit by a car. And after 20, 30 minutes, we finally caught him. And it was the grace of God, I tell you, because we had big street there and then a very busy street. And then we had the woods. So we lost him. And then to make matters worse, we had some lights in the nativity scene, and one of the sheep chewed the cable and got shocked and passed out for a few seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
So I tell you, I say, when you talk about opposition, well, we certainly had a lot of opposition that day.
Wow, wow. Well, I like the song "Mary, Did You Know?" I've always been a fan of that song, so I'm going to have to watch The True Miracle of Christmas so I can hear your wife perform it. But I'm confused. You said the children in the movie. Was it your wife that was playing your wife in the movie?
Yes.
Wow.
That's why
wow.
I said tricker, yeah. I moved very slowly. I said, "Honey, you sound so great, and you're so natural. You're so comfortable." And, you know, I said, "Well, let's just try to do one scene." And then when she was convinced, then she let me direct it, and she's comfortable that way. And then, she did wonderful.
Fantastic, fantastic. I wonder if your music influences your filmmaking at all, or vice versa. Do you see times when, say, the filmmaker in you is having an effect on the music you're doing, or where the music side of Steph Karst somehow carries over to the film world, other than the obvious, meaning scoring one of your own projects?
I would say it starts visually for me. When I write a song, I get an image first, unlike a lot of songwriters. And I see kind of like a little film, and then I write then. So most of the time, this is how it happens, you know. There's a new song that I'm going to be released after Christmas now. I just finished writing the song. I just finished recording it. And this one it's another worship song. That one was just me watching the sunset. It was such a beautiful sight. I mean, you live in Florida. We get those amazing sunsets here. And so just watching the sunset. But most of the time, I think in images, you know, I see stories. So I think that's how it comes for me.
I want to understand the difference here. because I do have guests that will come and they'll say, as I was writing the song, I could already see what the music video is going to be. But it sounds to me like you're saying, no, I'm getting this visual, and that's what's inspiring me to write it. I'm not getting the visual as I'm writing it. That's what prompted me to put pen to paper in the first place.
Right, yeah. So, wow. But, it's, you know, there's no one formula, but most of the time this is how it happens.
Wow,
right?
Wow. Well, what about Undone? Who is Sherry Dameron, if I'm saying her name properly, and what stage is that movie in?
Well, my goodness, talk about opposition and a great story. The movie is really, we're not focusing too much on the pain that she went through, but to give you just an example, because it's going to be focused on the redemption and the grace of God. But she grew up in a, like I did, in a very religious background, and was abused sexually by a church member at the age of 5, which obviously created very low self-esteem. So she was, you know, had a learning disability. She was dyslexic. She had a guy friend that was kind of a little older than her, and he was her protector. But when he turned 18, he went to the aviation. So she ended up marrying the first guy that paid attention to her at 17. And she stayed married with him for 10 years. And he abused her to the point that he sent her to, I mean, she was at the ER 7 times, to the point that she couldn't have children. And so finally, she stayed married to this guy. So after 10 years, just, you know, looking back, and she was really mad at God. And when you talk to her, she was mad at God for what's happened to her. And so she said, you know, if that's what your Jesus is, I'm not interested. So she left the church, left the marriage, and walked in a very foreign world of drug, alcohol, and prostitution. And she ran as a prostitute for 10 years. This is how mad she was. And what happened, one of her old friend, was getting married and was getting baptized and invited her to the baptism. And Sherry, you know, said, obviously, I'm not going to walk in this church. But on a dare, she decided to go and walked in as high as a kite. You know what I mean? And but during the worship, she had one of those, I would say, a Paul experience, right? So there was like something that snapped her out. And where am I? What am I doing? And the wife of the pastor somehow, you know, felt the need to kind of take care of her and put her under her wings and basically re-educated her about her identity and who we are in Christ through the book of Ephesians, and made her personalize it, who I am in Christ, because she had such a low self-worth, you know, for every choices that she's made and with what happened in her life that was beyond her choices when she was a young kid, right? And so we start the movie. I mean, we talk about the past, but then we start the movie at the restoration. Remember, she couldn't have children. So right after that, she got called in by a foster care facility that found this 4-year-old kid walking by himself on the street. His parents were in rehab. And so they called her because she was next of kin. He was a first cousin. So she ended up fostering this child. And remember the army guy I was telling you, so he got married for 10 years. Yeah, you know, she was a prostitute for 10 years. After 20 years, he retired, was looking for a house. Knock at her door because she had a house for sale. They fell in love, got married within 6 months, and adopted the child. And he was truly her protector in a way, and in many ways. Encouraged her to open a ministry to help women that have been abused. Man. And then it gets better, Bruce. Believe it or not, it gets better. And she always had a dream to become a country singer and country gospel singer. So he paid her a recording session in Nashville to record 2 albums. And you remember the song from Loretta Lynn, probably the most famous country song of all time, "You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man."
Yeah.
And so she re-recorded the song, but changing the lyrics to "You Ain't Devil Enough to Change God's Plan." Somehow it got to the ears of Loretta Lynn. Loretta, who had a heart for the broken, followed her ministry online and gave her the rights to the song. And not only the rights, but the royalty of that version, which is part of the movie. And I was talking to Sherry recently. They've opened, get this, over 300 churches, online churches in the Middle East this year. And so her ministry is spreading, you know, and she gets to talk to, I would say, the rejects, you know, the ones that are the rejects from the church, the one that has stories similar to her. And she talks to them boldly about who Christ is and what he's done in her life. And somehow they don't mind getting slapped in the face by her because she's walked in their shoes. You know?
But did you know of her? Did you know her story and you contacted her to say, I want to do a movie about it? Or is it, oh, Bruce, I knew her 35 years ago and I only recently decided to make a movie. How did that project come to be? How did you decide that you wanted to make a movie about her story?
Well, I worked with her in the past. I did some music videos for her.
Okay.
And it was like layer by layer, you know, you get to know the person, you get to know the story. And then she had written the book Undone, and she's been wanting to do, she had a deal in Hollywood and she passed on it because they were changing the story and it was, it was not about her story anymore. It was more, they focused on the prostitution. They focused on, you know, Hollywood, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it was being Hollywoodized.
Yeah, it was a complete, and she really, the whole story is about pointing to Jesus.
So what stage is the movie at currently?
We're at the pre-production. We did the trailer for the movie, the trailer concept, and we're raising the funds. So it's going through actually right now. So I don't know how it's going to end up. But it's actually being judged right now by Angel Studios, so we'll see.
Okay. Wow. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from the Orlando area by six-time Emmy Award-winning recording artist, filmmaker, and television producer Steph Carse. Visit his official website at stephcarse.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Once you land on his website, go into the music section for so much of his catalog with links there to get it from Amazon, Apple Music, and Spotify. You heard him talking about his movie musical, The True Miracle of Christmas. Look for that on Amazon Prime Video. Steph is very much on social media. Look for the logos at the top of stephcarse.com to link over to his Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. It seems like we're at a time of year when people start shutting down, meaning off of work, on break from school, and so forth. That leaves a lot of extra time for finally getting around to initiatives like downloading and setting up the OWL app on your phone. You hear me talking about it every week on this show, and all the while, people are making more new connections through there. So take advantage of downtime during the holiday season to make some great contacts. OWL, like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. In other words, you are calling and talking to someone instead of clicking a connect request button or writing a private message. And simply by virtue of being on OWL, they are indicating that they do want calls. They do want to hear from other experts on the app and are ready to answer incoming calls, which sets up nicely for you knowing that they're ready to connect with you. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click where it says news and then read the article under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in there to download OWL for free from the App Store or Google Play. You will also see my invitation code in there. That is a required field as you're setting up the app on your phone. Download it, call me, and let's talk. Steph, to this point, I have not really broken this down, but you are actually a singer, songwriter, piano player, and as we have been discussing, filmmaker and TV producer. If someone just meets you for the first time and doesn't know who you are, doesn't know what you do, which of those would you say first? I'm Steph, I'm a filmmaker, or I'm Steph, I'm a recording artist, or I'm Steph, I'm a TV producer? Because I imagine it's tough. I imagine there's no such thing as a typical day for you, and there are probably days that you might be wearing multiple hats.
Yeah, well, you know what? I would say I'm Steph, a follower of Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Interesting enough, you know, growing up in that religious sphere, I didn't want to do any Christian songs when I was a kid because it was sort of like forced. It would have been obligation. And today, once you have a relationship with Christ and you move from religion to relation, I only want to do things for him now. It's not out of obligation. It's out of pure desire and love for the grace and the love that he's shown us. And so it's interesting you say that, because recently I opened a LinkedIn profile because my wife keeps asking me. Remember, she's a spreadsheet type of girl. She wants to, you need to be on LinkedIn. And so I said, okay, but as long as I'm, I will say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. This is who I am. And then we could talk about the Emmys and the stuff after. But so I said, let's just turn everybody off and just right away, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And it did, to a point, because LinkedIn actually, we have a suggestion for your profile title. Would you remove "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ"? That was the first thing AI LinkedIn gave me. I said, no, thank you. But I think time is limited, and I feel like I've wasted a lot of years, and I just want to do the work. I think I'm gifted in the media world, which I always think about Proverbs 4:20, when God tells us that those who are that we need to incline our ears to the word and keep them in sight, and then let them flow in your heart. And he's talking really of the power of media in a way, because when you get to hear something, you get to see it, and you get to feel something, then you're able to move. And I think that's why my lane is understanding that from my standpoint. I think it, my lane is to produce films and create visual, audio, and stories that will touch the heart in order to point to him.
Yeah, nicely said. And I love the way that you started that answer because unfortunately, it is in a place now where as soon as people meet each other nowadays, that's the first question people ask. They shake hands. Oh, nice to meet you. So what do you do? And I never like the fact that everybody seems that they want to define themselves, define each other by what you do. And I think, why can't we just get to know each other as people first before you say, oh, by the way, we've been talking all this time. I don't even know what you do, or maybe not even in that first meeting. So I love that you didn't say, oh, I usually go to filmmaker first, Bruce, or I usually go to recording artist first. So hats off to you because we need more of that instead of everybody being so quick to want a business card or a title or both. I mentioned that you released a single in August. Last year, you released three singles and a Christmas album. What dictates how much music you might put out in one calendar year? Meaning, is it just depends if I get inspired to write a lot of music, or is it my schedule, my film and TV commitments determine how available I am to get into recording projects? What does all that look like?
Well, sometimes I'm actually in front of the computer 14 hours a day editing, because I do my edits. And so you get so, when I leave the studio, I see four screens everywhere. It gets really where it gets heavy at times. And so I would tend to, kind of put on the side of the singing practice, which is essential. It's like an athlete. If you want to run, you got to keep running, right? So if you want to sing, you got to keep singing. And I was looking for, I don't know, it's always like I'm being transparent. I was looking for an excuse. I said, God, give me a reason to sing, and I want to sing new songs. And sometimes you got to kick yourself in the butt, but you also have to have a purpose behind it. And what happened is, during the Christmas recording, when I did a certain songs that were not original songs, some of them from the Christmas special is public domain because they're the classics, the old Christmas songs that were written before the 1930s. But we dealt with certain songs where you wanted to clear the rights of the song. It was so complicated to clear rights for songs that I didn't write. It was the paperwork and all the stuff that is required, because you have to reach out. Now, whoever, especially if the writer is no longer alive, you're dealing with people that are very greedy.
Oh, boy.
And so it was very complicated. So I came to the point I was so upset with the situation. I said, I've had it with being doing other songs. And I said, I think, God, you gave me the kick in the butt that I needed. I need to go back and write new songs. And that's when I started rewriting songs, because of the frustration of dealing with clearing rights of songs that are, not particularly yours, right? And so I needed that kick. So and so now I keep writing now. So I'm back in the flow, because it really is like an athlete. You got to work at it, and you got to desire it. And so I said, for me, I said, give me a story. The first thing I said, I want to write a song that, just about worshiping in truth and spirit. And that's when Almighty came, and intertwined with the story I was sharing with you earlier. But I'm in that place now. I think I want to use my voice more because I had been working more in film for the past 3 years, more than the music. So now I'm back in both, you know.
Interesting. Interesting. On a related note, what do you think is the future of Christian entertainment, and what do you hope to contribute to it?
Well, I hope right now, I think we're given an opportunity here in America. And I think that it would be interesting to see what we do as the body of Christ. Are we going to enrich ourselves, or are we going to really possess the land? This is my thought pattern. And I think we are called to possess the land, meaning to bring back God where he, you know, this is, there's no nation in the world that has been more blessed than the United States. Mm. And so I can only imagine the sadness and the heartbroken that God must be to see, you know, what's happening in America. And I think now we're given a chance to be bold. We're called to be bold. I know time is limited. I feel that. And I think we have enough signs around us to show us that. And I think we are called now to be bold as a body of Christ. Because to me, in my understanding of Scripture, the only true authority that's given on earth is to those who are in Christ. But the church has become lukewarm in a way, in many churches. And you can't put everybody in the same boat, obviously. But I think the church is not about how many people we get in church. It's not to bring people to the church, it's to bring the church to people. And that's what I'm hoping to do. And for me, I think my lane to do that is through the entertainment industry, because it certainly needs help.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. And audience, if you're new to Now Hear This Entertainment and you're drawn to Christian music, I'm going to put a couple links on the show page for Steph's episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. to some past Christian guests that have been on this show, namely people like Brian Scoggin, who at the time was the drummer for Casting Crowns, Lindsay McCall, Johnny Diaz. Look for all those so you can go back and listen to my interviews with those folks. Steph, let's hear all about your anti-bullying ministry, which is called Why I Count, an audience that's the letter Y, the letter I, and then the word count. Steph, tell us about that cause, that nonprofit that you have.
When I was recording the album, My Shining Hour, it was a project, it was a TV special. It's called My Shining Hour Story. There's one song I wrote in there that didn't fit the concept, which the song was called Awesome. And it was based on Psalm 139:14, you know, depending on what version of the Bible you read, which is I'm wonderfully, fearfully made. The complete Jewish Bible says I'm awesomely made. So that inspired me to write the song. I'm a child of God and talking about, you know, song gratitude, but it was really a pop song. And it didn't fit. So then all of a sudden, I just didn't want to put it aside because I really liked the song. And a friend of mine sent me a letter online that she saw, you know, obviously online through an email. She sent me a letter of a young kid that was 14 that committed suicide at 14 because of bullying. And that brought me back to my childhood. I was bullied as a kid. As an artist, we're very introverted and very shy. But I thought, we didn't think about killing yourself for that. And today, it's the number one cause of death for young children under 14. So what could take us to that place? What can they think? And then the more I dig into this and started reading and studying, the understanding that the frontal part of the brain of a child is not fully formed until the age of 22, 23, all the way to 25, depending on the child. Mm-hmm. So basically the part that can reason is not there. So when you tell a child, you know, what were you thinking? They were not thinking, they were just feeling. Because everything that they make is out of emotion. You know, it's all based on emotion. Mm-hmm. That rational part is not there. And understanding that first, and then second, I said, yeah, well, what could be so bad? Well, back in my days when I was bullied, you know, you get involved in the fight. Two or three guys, and that's the end of it, and home was a safe place. But today, home is not as a safe place for the reason that they're left on their own more than when I was a kid. You know, either both parents are working or they're separated. It's a whole new dynamic. And make it worse than that is that they're coming back with their device, the tablet, where the bully is even more vicious and more courageous behind a screen. And so the peer pressure for these kids, it's not about two or three kids that knows, and they're walking in class now not knowing if the whole class knows about what's been said about that person. So the peer pressure is so tremendous. And if they're left on their own, so they're not able to rationalize with it. And they don't want to talk about it because they would be embarrassed. So I thought, you know, let's take that song now. And maybe God had a plan for me to write this. And so we can walk into secular schools and share, you know, because we're not going to eradicate bullying. There's always going to be bullies out there. But what we can do is if we can help build self-worth and self-esteem. And that's what the song was about. And so the program was developed out of that. And what we did is I wanted to have a scientific approach to show the awesomeness that resides in all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about the heart, for instance, that the heart pushes blood, 60,000 miles of blood vessels every day. Now, 60,000 miles every day is like going around the earth 2.5 times every day. That's the distance through all the blood vessels. Mm. Your eyes are able to capture over 1 million bits of information per second, sending it to your brain at 300 miles per hour. Whoa. No cameras can give you an instant focus like your eyes can. You know, in 2017, at that time, the largest computer was called the Japan K, and it would take 40 minutes for that computer to do what your brain can record in 1 second. So basically, the whole program is the scientific approach to see what resides in all of us and the potential and everything that we can do. And we intertwine also the power of words, because we often, you know, end up becoming what we believe. But the premise here is like we end up believing what we are told repeatedly and accept as truth. And so this whole approach is about understanding what you say will have a ripple effect also in your life. So it's helping not just the victim of bullying, but the bully himself. Mm,
yeah.
Because chances are that they are being bullied somewhere, right?
So is Why I Count, is it a resource? It's a website? Is it a YouTube channel? Is it a hotline? Is it we have events or meetings? What does it look like physically?
Well, again, you know, I'm using what my gift is in the media. So what we did is we created short films and also a series called The Secret Hero, to help the parents and the child understand what do we do in a situation where my child is being bullied. So it's telling the parents what kind of sign to look for so that they can help their child.
Okay.
And then it's also helping the child now building self-worth through this series, a series of 8 episodes. It's called The Secret Hero. And we did a short film also called Is There a Future for Me? That addresses teenage girls with self-harm and body dysmorphia. And it's more of a resource to help.
Okay.
You know, when I have time, I don't have a lot of time. When I do have time, I do some tours, you know, some time in school with the kids. I wish I could do that more, but I think it's more effective for me to do it on film so that way everybody can have access to it.
And so where can people see that film in that series?
It's a whyicount.org.
Okay.
There's a bunch of films there you can get to see.
Okay, so whyicount.org. On a different note, I see that you write your social media posts in 2 languages. How much has it helped you grow your audience by speaking English and French as compared to other creatives who only speak English? I'm sure it's important to you and the Francophones recognize and appreciate that you do make that effort.
Well, because I started my career there and they know who I am, and I think the French community is, if I were to say, you know, what community is the most atheist would be the French community. Mm. So it was important for me to translate to French, first of all, because some of the French people are following me still. And I get to know it from them if I don't write it in French, right? And but, you know, it's a platform for me to say to them that Jesus Christ is real. You know, and we talk about, obviously, all my work directs everything to him. So it's a way for me to preach in different language. By the way, the true miracle of Christmas has been translated to French and Spanish. Mm. So it's actually in Mexico right now. It's been played in Mexico and getting great comments. And I was excited to see that.
Fantastic.
But it's in next year, we'll probably do it in different languages as well. More. Mm. So
we're going to close today with another one of Steph's original songs, one called My Shining Hour. Before I let you go and we play that song, Steph, share with the audience first all about this track, please.
Well, that was a turning point. That was the years I was in Vegas. I wanted to be bolder about my faith. And I considered myself at the time a Christian in the closet, so to speak, apologizing for what I believe. And then I said, you know what, it's time to show what I believe, and I can't be apologizing for believing in Jesus Christ. And so my shining hour became my shining hour story. It was a TV special that was on PureFlix, and it aired on Daystar. But it's really about my shining hour through Jesus Christ.
And you wrote that song after you moved from Vegas, and I guess the second question would be, you moved from Vegas where? Back to Canada?
No. I've been in the States for 27 years. Vegas, I was just performing there, but my home was Florida.
Oh, I see.
I was in Nashville in 97, 98, 99, and in 2000, I moved to Florida.
Okay.
I always will choose the storm over the cold.
Nicely said. Nicely said. Steph, congratulations. I know it's a few months, but the new single, Almighty, congratulations on that. And thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You as well, Bruce. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the questions.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to Emmy Award-winning recording artist, filmmaker, and television producer Steph Karse. Do visit his official website at stephkarse.com. Again, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Once you land on his website, go into the music section to access his catalog and links to go get it from the likes of Amazon, Apple Music, and Spotify. Today you heard him talking about his movie musical, The True Miracle of Christmas. Look for that on Amazon Prime Video. As I mentioned before, Steph is very much on social media. This morning, I followed him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm sure he would appreciate you doing the same. Look for the logos at the top of stephkarse.com to link over to those, as well as his official YouTube channel. For that matter, tell Steph you heard him and his music. I Now Hear This Entertainment. I do hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Steph and I. And I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 and a half years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 566. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Steph Karse. This is the one he just talked about. It's called My Shining Hour.
You want it. You dream it. You see it until the moment comes. You doubt it, you fear it, you fight it, then once you slip away. I don't want to live a life afraid of losing my life. I don't want to doubt the things I'm meant to live out loud. Cause this is my finest hour. My truth and my desires. No one can take this from me. You came and lifted me higher. For now my shining hour is with you. You feel it, believe it, you touch it, it's at your fingertips. Fake it, you live it.
you chasing, then watch you run away. I don't want to live the life afraid of losing my life. I don't want to doubt the things I'm meant to live aloud. No. Shining hour is with you. I patiently waited for Adonai till he turned toward me and heard my cry. He brought me up from the roaring pit, up from the muddy ooze, and set my feet on a rock, making my footing firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will look on in awe and put their trust in Adonai.
With you.